In today's episode, we tackle the five biggest objections churches have to the Google grant. Google gives churches $10,000 every month towards marketing, and for those that take advantage, the grant can lead to excellent results. But many churches are skeptical, and we get that. We hope this episode helps you get your church past the hurdle and start using your $10,000 to reach more people and grow. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Well, hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right podcast, episode number 9. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and my co-host today, as he is always, it is...
Ian Hyatt here in the flesh.
Hey, Ian, thanks for being here today. Closed on your house today, I hear. Is that right?
I'm here even though we have done that and gone through a long real estate process, as I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. But yes, we're here and very excited and thankful. Yeah.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. We're happy about that and excited to see your new studio come behind you here.
Well, you know, it's getting there. Yeah. For those that watched last week, slightly chopped off face and nothing in the background but boxes, and maybe if someone spotted that. So we're getting there.
That's it. Well, we got a good topic today we get to share with people. I know you and I have kind of dialogued about it a little bit, but we're going to unpack it some. It's the five biggest objections to the Google grant for churches. The five biggest objections. Why don't you tell us a little bit, just for those that maybe don't know about the Google grant for churches, what is that and what do churches get? What's that about?
Yeah. So for churches and nonprofits, Google gives literally up to $10,000 a month in AdWords marketing dollars. So it's in the form of AdWords. So Google AdWords, for those that are familiar with that, online ads for your organization. But they do. If you're a 501c3, you will qualify for it. And it is a real thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. So does that mean like Google just sends you a check for $10,000 every single month? Is that what that is?
Don't we get that question sometimes? I hear that probably every other day. And that would be lovely. That would be super generous of Google, even though this grant is very generous. It's not that generous. So no, not cutting you a check for $10,000. I'd be like, yeah, that's why we just got this new house. I'm kidding. So.
the grant is for in-kind AdWords, basically. So they give you $10,000 free to spend on their platform for the search network AdWords, basically. Mm-hmm. So Google has so many different advertising channels in 2020 that it includes YouTube ads and their display network, which is, you ever notice where you've been searching for something and then you start to see ads for that company on other websites and that kind of stuff. That's their display network out there. This is for search ads. So when someone types a search into a search box that Google runs, it's usually those first three or so results that come up there. Those are ads that companies usually pay for, but for nonprofits, Google gives it to them for free, $10,000 a month, at least for free. Yeah. So we think that every single church should take advantage of this. Every church probably should be set up as a nonprofit. If they don't have their own 501c3, they should probably have one through their parent organization so that they can process donations efficiently for givers. But we think that if your church is in that category, every single church should be doing their very best to take advantage of every cent of this $10,000 that they possibly can. But we tend to hear some objections about this. There's some reasons why people think that maybe they shouldn't. And we wanted to do our best to answer some of those today as to why we think even in that case, you probably should apply for, get, and use the Google grant. Maybe you can share with us, Ian, some of those that you hear most. You're the one talking directly to clients the most. So what do you hear?
Yeah, that's good. And it's good that we start with this first point after kind of just, you know, giving a little summary of what the Google grant is, because one of the first things that might come to mind when someone hears that big number is that this is too good to be true.
Yeah,
I think we hear that pretty often. And I think because of that big $10,000 number, or this, because it is Google, which is such a, obviously, Google's monopolized search engine, you know, search engines and everything. So, so everyone's like, there's got to be some sort of a catch.
Right. Yeah. And I guess that there is, there's not a catch. I mean, I wouldn't say there's a catch. I don't think that Google's motives are completely altruistic. It's not that they had an evangelical revival happening at Google. No. So they're trying to help more churches do this. So I don't be tricked into thinking that's the reason why they're doing that.
Yeah.
There's a few reasons why. I think number one, I think it's that there's some street cred that they get by helping nonprofits. Yeah. And so they want to have some kind of a generosity wing, mm-hmm. which I think is important for their overall brand. I think originally their company slogan was don't be evil. That was kind of their main mission statement, was to not be evil. And so helping nonprofits was something that was in their wheelhouse, they felt like. But I think there's financial incentive for them too, just so we don't need to get too deep into the details of exactly how it works. But the way that Google Ads works is that it's an auction structure. Mm-hmm. So companies that want to place ads on Google search network, they basically have a bidding strategy where they say, I will pay up to X amount for every click that I get onto my ads. And then another company will say, well, I'll pay $5 for every single click. And then another company will say, I'll pay $5.11. And so they kind of have this competing structure that what this does, the Google grant, because we don't actually pay for these, but what it does is it helps to drive up the cost of other ads that are being placed on the Google search network. So every time a church puts an ad out there, you know, you got to remember, we're not just competing with other churches out there. And I don't really think, when I say competing, I mean that very loosely. I think in a search engine platform sense, we are competing. We're all on the same team in the end. You know, we're trying to reach people for Jesus. But what this does is we're competing not just with other churches for people's eyes, but we're competing with movies, or maybe just things that people want to do. Like I know one of the big ways that we did search engine ads for the church that I pastored is we tried to target people looking for things to do in Madison, Wisconsin. And we were competing against farmers markets and movies and events. Those are things we're competing. And so when we do it this way, what it does is Google's free money, actually, it helps to keep the price of what other companies, what for-profit companies are paying. It kind of keeps it inflated. So you can think what you will about that. But I want to make sure everybody knows that we're not under this false pretense that we think that Google has somehow just come to their senses and wanted to be a blessing to churches. It's not completely that way. But we do think that there is some real reason for it. And yeah, I mean, it really isn't too good to be true, because we know this because we have lots and lots of people that we help do it. So I think I just saw our number is that this year we crossed $1.8 million of Google's money that we helped churches spend so far. So it's pretty crazy when you think about it that way, right?
That is a lot of money. Yeah,
$1.8 million that churches could have paid for, but didn't because it was from the grant there. So if you're thinking it's too good to be true, you're not alone, but it really isn't. It's something that we see churches taking advantage of all the time.
And one thing you just mentioned too, I'll expound upon a little bit at the beginning, is that, you know, it is part of Google's brand, you know, and when when they see numbers like you just mentioned, and they see even bigger numbers, I'm sure, of how much of it has been, the grant has been used everywhere, to them, they can point and say, this is how much we've given back, you know. And I remember actually one of our employees at ReachRight, because we do interact with Google, even though we're a separate company, for support, you know, reasons for our clients. We had a couple of clients that were concerned, hey, is this grant going to go away? And I know Thomas used it over 5 years ago for your church, like you just indicated. And so it's been around for a while and we don't see it going away. When one of our employees was having that conversation with a Google rep, they actually like their voice raised in a positive way. And they're like, no, we love it. This is a part of our brand and, yeah. and our identity as a company. And it's, you know, it's basically here to say is what they were here to stay is what they were communicating.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, I think you're exactly right with that. So why don't you hit number two for us?
Yeah. Number two is the non-discrimination clause that Google has. And that's something that, when you're applying for the grant, you see front face right away. And so, yeah, that has been an obstacle for some evangelical churches for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. There's only one part of that non-discrimination right, clause yeah, that people have an issue with. And clarify. So it's, you know, I don't think people have, basically what it says is that, your organization, you commit to not discriminating in your practices or hiring practices, even on the basis of gender. So, you know, I think most churches are okay with that. They hire men and women both. Mm-hmm. Some churches have a challenge with some of that stuff around the lead pastor role and those kinds of things, but we can talk about that a little bit. Race, I think if your church has a problem with that, we probably don't want to work with you anyway if you're discriminating right. based on race. So you got bigger fish to fry. There's some other, I guess it talks about religion in there a little bit, but I think that there's an obvious exception for churches with that thing. But the big one, I think, for most churches is the clause in there about not discriminating on the base of sexual orientation. Right. And I think every church processes this differently. Right. And I think I want to share with you as an evangelical pastor who has always held to and taught from the pulpit that our belief that marriage is between one man and one woman, and that's the way the Bible ordains it, and that's what we believe in. I want to share with you a little bit about why I still feel okay signing on to that non-discrimination clause. It's because the term that they use at Google is based on sexual orientation. And the church that I pastored, I was always very clear to teach about this, is that we are not there to fight this battle over orientation and what that means. There is a difference between sexual orientation and sexual practice. Mm. And at every church I've ever pastored, we have always been clear that, I don't know if I'd use the word discriminate, but we have very strong opinions on sexual practice of all kinds. So we don't believe that sex should be something that people partake in outside of the confines of a male-female marriage. That's something that we believe. But that is a practice question. But we have also always stood with people that feel like that maybe while they're not practicing that, their orientation is something that's totally different there. Right. So we've had people in the church that I pastored one gentleman in particular, he shared with me that he had a gay orientation, but he wasn't practicing that way, where he felt like he was attracted to men, but he wasn't ever going to practice those things. And so we celebrated that. I mean, that's cause mm-hmm. to celebrate. If someone, you know, I don't wish that on somebody, but I think that that's mm-hmm. something that when people get to that place where they have lived in a certain lifestyle and they decide mm-hmm. that they're no longer to practice that, that's something to celebrate. So orientation yeah. is different from practice. And in my view, I think that I can sign off on a non-discrimination clause that singles out orientation as long as it doesn't single out sexual practice, which is where I think most churches, they kind of fall on that line there. And I think most evangelical churches are the same as that. I believe your church is probably, I mean, would you say you guys are the same way, Ian?
Same way, definitely.
Yeah. Anything to add to that?
No, I think too, it's one thing to note is that it's not something that, to our understanding, Google is not sending secret shoppers into your church or anything like that. So I don't think that should be a concern. I don't think it's been anything heavily policed or anything. It is a grant, and, that's just their stance on it. But, no, I think you hit the nail on the head with that, Thomas. I think that's a good way to look at it. You know, every church should be open to reaching any individual. And of course the goal is when they get there is to, turn that person into a Christ follower that turns away from that particular sin as well as others. And so I think that if we don't, As long as we keep our mission in front of us, I think that most evangelical pastors are okay with that. So,
yep. Yeah. And yeah, I think, again, we discriminate on all kinds of sexual practices, mm-hmm. right? So we wouldn't hire yeah. someone who was living, a man living with his girlfriend. Yeah, you know, we wouldn't hire someone who was...
Bestiality or whatever.
Have to get off on... Yeah, there's all kinds yeah, of practices yeah, so, that... Yeah, yeah. And I don't want to make any comparisons to right. one practice to another or anything like that. Right. But what we're getting at is that I think that... there should be some freedom. And I think it's important that pastors are able, to me, it was important to answer this question with integrity and honesty when they asked me that I could say with good conscience that I'm not going to take this and not abide by what they say, or basically say that I'm something that I'm not, right. because I can say that I really do feel like, on the basis of orientation, I want to celebrate with those that are making that kind of a sexual practice decision in their lives. So yeah. that's kind of my thought on it. And, so hopefully that's a helpful to churches. Yeah. What else do we have? What other questions or objections do we get?
Yeah, the next one would be political concerns with the grant. Yeah. And of course, in this climate we're in right now, that's top of mind for a lot of pastors and ministry leaders and alike. So, that's one we, I think, don't hear of as much as some of the others, but it's out there for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that I hear it quite a bit on our Facebook advertising, mm-hmm. when we put ads out on Facebook, which is where all the best political arguments happen, is on goodness. Facebook, right? The most best way to change someone's mind is to write to companies about your political beliefs about their ads. So, but it's, we do see this quite a bit. I'd say just that people say that it's if you sign on to this, that there is a catch, and that catch is that you have to basically bow down to Google's mm-hmm. political agenda,
right?
Whether that be their silencing of conservative voices, or it be their relationship with other governments that are maybe hostile to us, mm-hmm. or their promotion of election meddling from Russia, and all these kinds of things. You hear all kinds of stuff that problems that people have with Google. I'll just say that that's something that most churches probably have to weigh, and I don't see any direct connection between a church using the Google grant, using the free money that... Now, it's one thing. If you have a conviction about giving money to Google and you're maybe in a place where you want to boycott that, I get mm-hmm. that. I think if you want to be careful and not spend $1,000 a month on advertising with Google mm-hmm. because of mm-hmm. their political leanings, God bless you. You know, more power to you with those kinds of things. And if that's your conviction, that's great. This is something that's different, I think, because really you're taking money from Google.
Yeah.
And sure, they have something to gain from it. I'm sure there's something deep down in there. But I will say that I don't think that this should fall under a general political boycott if you're someone that's doing that. And I'm not advocating that or saying that I do. But if you are of that leaning, I don't think that receiving grant money should fall into that category. What do you think?
No, I totally agree. And if someone has that kind of conviction against supporting Google, they can look at it as, hey, you know what? I'll take your free money then, and I'll lead more people to Jesus. And,
taking what the enemy meant for harm and turning it to good, right?
It's
kind of a Joseph story there.
It can be, for sure.
A modern day Joseph. There you go. Be one of those, Pastor.
Yeah, that's it. So I think that that's something that, you know, some people, as the Southern saying goes, people make a mountain out of a molehill. So
there you go.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
It. So. All right, hit the next one. Let's get out of the political and sexual orientation stuff and get into something a little bit more mainstream.
Yeah, something I hear often is, you know, we're just, we're in a small town, you know, we're not, you know, big metropolitan area, and, you know, there are not that many people doing searches out here, and, you know, we're one of maybe, you know, only 10 churches in the county or whatever, and I just don't think it'll benefit us because of that.
Yeah, that's a good one, and I get where people are coming from with this, there is a nugget of truth to what they're saying. I think mm-hmm. that the task of getting eyes on your ads from Google that are free mm-hmm. in a small town is harder than it is in a big city. Right. Because there's just a lot more people to reach out to in a big city than there are in a small town. Mm-hmm. And when the game, when you have $10,000 to spend every single month, it's hard to find that many eyeballs sometimes in smaller towns.
Right.
So, if you are in rural Montana, your results from the Google grant will probably be different from a church that's in Los Angeles or New York City, yeah, right? So, and that being said, I think that there's a few ways around this. And let me explain the reason why. So most churches, when they run the Google grant, they're doing it with a regional target. So yeah, for most churches, you know, this is kind of changing with coronavirus and us going right online so much more as churches. But usually we were trying to reach people that were in driving distance to the church. So mm-hmm, depending on where you are, some places in rural Montana, people will drive 40 miles to church. That's not uncommon. In places like New York City, going more than five blocks to your church, yeah, might seem like it's too far to go, right? So yeah, regional is really different from place to place. But the number of people in five blocks of New York City, in like five blocks in Manhattan, it might be much larger than within 50 miles of rural Montana. So, yeah, you know, in New York City, for instance, though, you can reach within a 40 or 50 mile radius, you can reach tens of millions of people right around there that mm-hmm possibly could come into church. Whereas you're only talking in some parts of rural parts of the country, you're talking about maybe 50,000 people or 10,000 people within a 40 or 50 mile radius. And right, so you have a much smaller range. So yeah, here's the thing. Number one, I think you can broaden your reach beyond just your driving range, especially if churches are going more and more digital now. You're putting yeah your services online. I know in some rural places, there are very successful online services and online churches that do kind of an online service with chats and those things that are reaching the entire state of Montana or the entire, reaching the entire country really in some ways. So yeah, you can broaden your reach and not just target that. You could put things on your website that are useful, not that just to people that are in your community there, but are broader yeah than that. The gospel is valuable to everybody. That's one thing. And then I think you have to have a different expectation on results if you are trying to just target locally. Now, here's the thing to remember is that if you only spend $2,000 of Google's money, that's still $2,000 more yeah than you had before. So you yeah didn't max out the entire $10,000 because you're not in a big yeah city. That's still $2,000 of free advertising.
And about 800 different clicks or some odd around that ballpark. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
People so getting, clicking onto your ad. Yeah,
exactly right. I'm in Hawaii, and Hawaii is a notoriously hard place to do the Google grant because, well, I'm in a big city of about 700,000 people here in Honolulu. There's only 1 million people on our island here. And by Google grant standards, you know, within a large radius, there's only that many people here. Now, we do have some successful clients here in Hawaii that are doing very well. Some of them have broadened out and have started delivering their messages to people in California and other places mm-hmm there. So there's some strategy with that. But yeah, I'd say, again, it's all free money. So whether you spend all $10,000 or $2,000, I think it's something yeah that churches should claim either way.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's the way to look at this is, you know, even if you reached, you know, a couple more people and that person made a decision to follow Jesus, isn't that a victory, you know, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, even if it was one, right? That's what we always have said, not just with the Google grant, but any ministry effort, even if one person came to know the Lord, it's the whole ministry effort was worthwhile. And I think that's a good mindset to have. I think but most rural places will still reach more than just one, person.
So.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, but it reminded me, Thomas, of a story I heard from one of the pastors that we serve, and they were running the grant. They were able to reach a guy that was, you know, I guess, you know, he was definitely not in their same city. He was in their same state, but this guy did a Google search and found them, went online, listened to this pastor's message or a couple of messages, gave his life to the Lord, wow, ended up reaching out to the church to let them know, hey, I'm not going to be able to make a drive there, but I follow you guys online.
Yeah.
And I really feel like I'm a part of the ministry. And the neat thing is they made that connection from this, and that church was able to follow up and send them like a neat care package and some branded stuff that made him feel like a member and valued as a member. So that's the value of it too. Even if you're in a smaller rural area, something like that is an amazing story.
That's so awesome. I hadn't heard that yet. That's really a cool story to hear that that's working for people. So yeah, if it doesn't cost you anything, I think, you know, it's okay to do it for one person. I think that there's a lot more than one person you can reach with this. So it's a good idea. So why don't you tackle our last one? What's the last objection that we hear?
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, when someone is not wanting to consider outside help or professional help with the grant, is, can I just do this myself? Can I just get the Google grant and run with it myself? And so I think it's a good one to end on, because this is kind of, once someone realizes the value of the grant, that is it's a good question to have. You know, someone should, you know, ask themselves, is this something that I can manage myself?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, let me say this here. So we help churches with this grant service. We help churches run their Google grant if they can't do it on their own. There's lots of other companies that, not a ton, that do it for churches specifically or nonprofits, but there's lots of people that help manage AdWords campaigns for a paid type deal. You know, I just want this to be a help to anybody. I want this podcast not just to be for people that are using our service or thinking about it, but just anybody out there. I think that the answer to that is yes, you can do the grant yourself if you are willing to, you already know how, or you're willing to learn how to run Google AdWords, AdWord campaigns, and invest the time to do it. And I will say as a disclaimer that it is pretty hard to do. I can tell you that personally, I've been in the web industry since 2007. You and I have been working at this for a long time. When we first caught wind of the Google grant, when I was pastoring a church and I wanted to give it a try, our first client at ReachRight was the church that I pastored, so we could kind of test this and make sure that it worked. But I figured that, hey, I'd give it a try. Maybe I could learn it, and I couldn't. I tried to spend the $10,000 that Google gave me, and I was able to spend, I think, like $25 a month is how much I was able to get based on my own thing. So
it's almost a waste.
I know. And I took a look at, you know, do I want to spend the time, go through like a certification process? You don't have to do that, but, you know, you might want to go through a Google certification process, which is a pretty intensive program to learn how to run AdWords programs and really learn the nuts and bolts of this. Or does it make sense to trust a professional out there? And that's what I decided to do. So I hired one of these guys that does business grants, or not grants, business AdWords. So they'll run AdWords campaigns for businesses. The going rate for that is like 20% of whatever the AdWords spend is. So if you were going to spend $10,000, you would spend an additional $2,000 in having someone manage it for you. So that was kind of the going rate. We don't charge anywhere near that at ReachRight, but that's what the going rate is out there. So I hired somebody to try to help us manage this, and the results just went through the roof. You know, so we went, we weren't able to spend quite the entire $10,000, but the little church that I was pastoring wound up being the most viewed website in the entire city of Madison, Wisconsin, because we were using the Google grant to its full extent with someone that knew what they were doing. So on top of that, I think what you find is that once you've, there's so much trial and error in doing a grant campaign or any kind of AdWords campaign, is that you almost never stick it on the first try. You'll try different things and you'll find that, hey, this gets a lot of clicks, but people aren't showing up to services from it. This one, it gets some clicks, but they don't stay on the website very long, so that's not very good. This one, we can't get any clicks with it. And so I can't tell you how many different sets of keywords and ads that we've tried over the years that have, we've just thrown them away. We don't use them anymore. And we've settled on still, a few thousand different keywords, several dozen ads that seem to get the best results for churches. And so there has been tons and tons of trial and error that's gone on for years that lets us hone in on what's working when someone creates one of these Google grant campaigns. So all that to say, the objection to the idea that I'll try it myself, we are all for that. If you want to get in there and learn how to do it, and you have the time, you know, maybe in this coronavirus lockdown season, you're ready to go get the training that Google offers you, or you can do a paid course in how to do AdWords advertising. Great. I'm all for that. I just think that the vast majority of pastors and churches, they probably don't have the time, the talent, or just the desire to get into this deep into this kind of a thing. And you might be better off having somebody else do it that has a lot of experience within that. What do you think?
No, that's it. Exactly. And I mean, again, more power to you if you can do it. And maybe you're at your church, you do have a Google AdWords expert there already, or maybe you have like a, you know, younger, you know, college intern person that would put in, you know, the work to get certified and do all of that and sure. spend all the time. Again, we see that that's pretty rare. And even if someone does get a jump on it, unfortunately, I've often heard, because one thing to note with this too, is that if the grant is not actively being managed, by someone and Google, by the way, they're always changing stuff on the back end and which keywords are, you know, effective and can be used and yep. all of that stuff. So if that's not being monitored and it's not being managed regularly, they actually suspend your grant.
Yeah.
So we've heard that, I've heard that so many times. So that's the thing, is if you do have the person, you do have the person with the time and the talent, make sure they're going to be there to stick it out for the long haul.
Yeah. Even our pro staff team that that does that, I mean, we get notifications all the time that say, hey, this account's in danger of being suspended unless you make these kinds of changes. And so it's a constant process. So don't, I think that, make sure you count the cost, as we're told in scripture, count the cost before you sign on to do something like that. I mean, you know, if you lose it, you didn't lose any money, I guess, but I think it's something that you should really think about. And I think for most churches, it probably makes sense in order to get $10,000 of free advertising to spend a little bit of money to make sure you're able to maximize something like that. It's probably a good investment. I know for my church, it made a huge difference. Even when before we started and built a team around this that actually manages it for churches. So it's been a really good thing there. So good. Anything else to add, Ian? Any other objections or anything else to chime in with?
No objections. I think it was good. No, I think we've covered all of that and kind of shorter and sweeter this podcast, but we thought it, we hopefully it packed a punch for our followers. So
yeah, that's it. We'll have some, if you're watching this or you're listening, you can check out our website, or if you're watching this, you can see in the description below, we'll put some links to some more information on the Google grant, including a place where you can check your eligibility to see if you're doing that. We want to be a resource to churches. So even if you just have a question on it, you can check your eligibility there, or you can shoot us a message. We're happy to answer any questions if you need some direction on this, whether we help you or not. Just we want to be a resource to help churches take advantage of this any way that we can. One last thing before we go. If you have enjoyed these podcasts, you like it, it's been helpful to you, please do share, like, rate, review, subscribe, do all those kinds of things. It helps us get up there in the rankings, and more people get to listen and watch this podcast. So we appreciate you guys, and thanks for all the feedback we've been getting on this here too. So thanks for listening this week, and we'll catch you guys next time.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.